What an amazing time we had this week at Vacation Bible School. Hey, guys? Woo! You had a good time? Awesome. We learned the depth of Jesus' love for us. Well, what I would like for us to do this morning is recap what was taught to the children this past week. Even for us adults, sometimes we need a fresh reminder of the truth that God loves each of us. So it is my prayer that you will take something away from the words I will be sharing with you from God's Word this morning. On night one, the kids heard Captain Bible tell a story from Mark 10, 13 to 16. That's the story of Jesus blessing the little children. And we'll read these verses here. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a small child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Some people say that the children are the future, yet some place very little value on them today. And this is not the case for Jesus. He made it a priority to bless them. What the scripture says to me is that the gospel message is meant for little children's ears also. We sometimes sing, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." And how can we sing this if we don't mean it? That is why so many volunteers took the time this week to be with your children. Children matter to Jesus, and they also matter to us. And throughout the week, we asked our children to memorize certain scripture verses that remind them of God's great love for us all. I'm going to ask the kids to help me this morning with these verses as we get to them, okay? Mr. Techie, could you put up our first Bible verse from Monday night, please?
"How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. 1 John 3:1a.
Thank you. Jesus loves everyone, and I believe that Jesus loves even me. On the second night, Captain Bible told us a story from the great banquet found in Luke 14. The scripture reminds us that everyone is invited to this great feast. We start at verse 15. "When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, 'Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God.' Jesus replied, 'A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent a servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." And still another said, "I just got married. I just can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. The owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." The master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." Kids, how many of you have received invitations to attend birthday parties? All of you? Yeah. For one of your friends, maybe? Family members? Yeah. Just imagine it was your birthday and you invited your friends, but nobody could come.
Yeah.
That would make you sad, huh? I know it would make me sad. And it makes Jesus sad too. He invites everyone to come to him. It's true. Jesus invites you as well. Mr. Techie, please, our second memory verse from Tuesday night, please.
"But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name."
John 1:12.
That's one invitation I don't want to miss being part of. And then on Wednesday, our third session, we learned the story of the young man who asked his father for his inheritance before his father even died, which was quite heard of in those days, even today. He went and spent it all on new toys, new toys for his friends, an iPad Touch, was it, Captain Bible? That's it, iPad Touch 64 gig. The money didn't last very long, and the son's friends sure didn't stick around very long either. He ended up working at the farm feeding
pigs.
That's right. He became so hungry that he wished he could eat what the pigs were eating. The entire story of the prodigal son is found in Luke 15:11-32, and we'll pick up here at verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' The brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" I found this quote on whatthebiblesays.com. It reads like this: "Jesus Christ loves the vilest sinner as truly as he loves the purest saint. But he does not love the vilest sinner in the same way that he loves his purest saint. His love to the sinner is one thing. His love to the obedient disciple is quite another. Towards one he has pity, and in the other he takes pleasure. There is an attraction in both cases. In the one case is the attraction of need appealing to compassion. In the other case, it is the attraction of beauty appealing to the appreciation and delight. Christ pities the sinner, he delights the saint, and he loves them both." On night three, our memory verse, Mr. Techie, please.
"There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Luke 15:10b.
This is certainly evident in the story of the prodigal son. Jesus forgives everyone who comes to him. He'll forgive, trust, and live. On our fourth night, we heard the story of the Good Samaritan. I don't know if many of you have seen it, but I love the way the VeggieTales tells the story and this wonderful little rhyme of hats and buckets and shoes. That's right, the shoes. But our very own Captain Bible told us a story as a cat helping a hurt dog while the other dogs wouldn't help. How scary this must have been for the cat to help a dog. In the Bible, Jesus tells the story like this in Luke 10. "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'And how do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' In reply, Jesus said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, and poured oil and wine. He put the man on his own donkey, brought him into the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." "Which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." And our memory verse number 4, Mr. Techie, please.
Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:32.
Thank you. Jesus teaches us to care for others. We were taught that Jesus cares, so we must care too. And on our final night, which was sad, it was our final night, we learned about the boy who shared his lunch of loaves and fishes with Jesus and his followers, found in John 6:1-15. Imagine how excited this boy was to know that his lunch was shared with so many in this amazing way. And the miracle reads like this. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. A great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He only asked this to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one just to have a bite." Another disciple of his, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place." And they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. When they had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is a prophet who had come to the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again on a mountain by himself. A final memory verse, Mr. Techie, please.
"Give and it will be given to you. A good amount be poured into your lap. It will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Luke 6:38a.
Jesus multiplies our gifts. I give so others can live. This past week, the children were given a practical way of applying these verses. We asked them to bring money to give to a project called Jesus, Miracles, Medicine, and Me. Much like that boy, giving a small gift can make a big difference. What thebiblesays.com summarizes this. Jesus had a self-sacrificing love. The death of Christ was not the only sacrifice he made, but the crowning one. His whole life was a sacrifice, from the manger to the cross. His becoming man at all was a sacrifice of immeasurable greatness and meaning. The scripture that was the basis for our deep sea adventure exploring the depths of Jesus' love is found in Romans 8:39, which says, "Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Exploring the depth of Jesus' love tells us that Jesus Christ loves you and wants to live in relationship with you. His love for you is deeper than the deepest ocean and wider than the widest sea. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for amazing week and the great opportunity, Lord God, that we have to serve you and to know you and to learn more about you, Lord God. And I thank you for each and every child that came out this week. They are precious in your sight, Lord God, and they are precious to us. And just be with them now, Lord, as they begin another school year just this week, Lord God. I thank you for the parents and the grandparents and friends and family that brought them out this week, Lord God, and bless them, and may they grow in a closer relationship with you. Lord God, I pray for our workers and our volunteers, Lord. I just can't say thank you enough to them for the hard work that they did, Lord God, and I pray that you will bless them through this great, amazing ministry. Be with us this afternoon, Lord, as we go outside now and celebrate another great time we had in learning about you and getting closer to you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.